The Haines Chamber of Commerce joins other regional chambers in a statement about the governor's state budget. And a Haines piano teacher looks back on 40 years of lessons following her final student recital. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories are up next. The Chambers of Commerce from three Southeast communities issued a statement on the governor's budget. This move follows a Southeast Conference survey that revealed Governor Dunleavy's fiscal plan may be out of touch with what regional business owners want. The Haines and Sitka Chambers of Commerce joined the Juneau Chamber in a statement they distributed to lawmakers this month. Craig Dahl is the Juneau Chamber of Commerce Executive Director. He wrote the joint statement and says the governor's proposed budget is short-sighted.
We believe that while the concept behind the governor's budget makes sense, that the timing does not. And we feel like it's difficult to say the state is open for business and welcoming investment when, in fact, you're doing things to drive people out of the state and make this a not very friendly place to live and work.
The joint statement puts forward what he calls long-term strategies for balancing the budget. Foremost among them is a change to the formula to calculate the permanent fund dividend. He says the state government should use earnings from the permanent fund to help balance the budget. The statement also supports continued investment in education and transportation infrastructure. Those local investments make sense to Tracy Harmon, executive director of the Haines Chamber of Commerce. She signed off on the joint statement.
Well, I would say the Haines Chamber really mostly is strongly reacting to the proposed cuts to the ferry.
She says the service is not only a lifeline for Haines residents, but a gateway to the local tourism industry. Visitors spent between $20 and $25 million in the municipality in 2017, according to the Haines Economic Development Council.
We want to urge the legislature to continue funding what we think is a critical service, to do everything it possibly can to continue funding the service.
All three chambers are members of the Southeast Conference, the region's economic development group. Their recent survey asked business owners how they would like to balance the state budget. The results revealed that business owners don't always agree with the governor's state budget. Like the Chambers of Commerce, business leaders who took the survey are strongly opposed to cuts to education and the ferry system. Those polled don't want state taxes to increase, but overwhelmingly support reducing tax credits to oil companies. And while the Dunleavy budget aims to preserve permanent fund payments, three-quarters of business owners are in favor of reducing them. In fact, most would like to see more of the permanent fund earnings reserve spent on state services. If you are at all acquainted with classical music in Haines, odds are you're familiar with Nancy Nash. She's performed at numerous concerts, outfitted the Chilcat Center with gorgeous pianos, and offered lessons to Haines residents of all ages since the early 70s. Whether it's helping a second grader learn how to play chopsticks or assisting with a composition for the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, Nash has been there for her students. On Sunday, she hosted the final student recital of her career. KHNS's Henry Leisha spoke with Nash to learn more about her time as a mentor for musicians in Haines.
People were looking for teachers, and so they pressed me into it. And I was like, oh no, I would not like to teach. No, I'm a performer and don't want to teach.
What was some of the reluctance there?
Well, one thing was just a practical one. I actually didn't get my bachelor's degree in music for 20 years after I graduated. So that was the reason. But I just wasn't particularly attracted to teaching, I didn't think, having not really done much. And so those first students, and I would go to their houses to teach. It's kind of an old-fashioned thing. That's the way it used to be, I think, sometimes, because we didn't have a house yet or a place to put our piano. And so I went to their houses, and, you know, I liked it so much, I think, from the very beginning. And I had good advice from friends, and I kind of did people from birth to death, I would say. Because I was, at various times, I did a play group, kind of a music appreciation play group for birth to two-year-olds for Reach. And then I did the preschool and Head Start programs in music appreciation. And then I would take kids about kindergarten age for private lessons through adults. I had many adults. And, of course, I play for the weddings of students and even renewal of vows, wedding vows, and I play for funerals. So at the birth to death.
All occasions, yeah.
It's an all occasion kind of thing, yes.
Why do you think you've been able to connect with people in this way? Why do these, you know, relationships between student and teacher last such a long time when it comes to piano?
Well, part of it is the way that music binds people together. You know, I certainly have a deep knowledge of that and how making music together can be so meaningful. When I play, you know, I play a lot of forehand music, duet music with my students of all ages. And when I sit at the piano bench with them, we're peers. I'm not a teacher, really, and they're not a student. We're peers making music together. And I think community-wise, it's... you know, it's a builder of community. It's kind of the reason that I thought it was time to retire. I'll be 70 this year, and I have been more and more tired. I teach evenings, you know, because there are so few after school times. I have homeschooled students that come during the day, but then I have after school and evening, and I've noticed I've been much more tired, but they're like my children. I have a great feeling of responsibility for every student, and I'm just now feeling this lift. Like after this recital yesterday, I feel light as air. You know, I've wanted this responsibility. I couldn't teach if it was a casual thing and, you know, take it or leave it. You like it, you know, fine. I wanted to be sure that I was the person, as long as we were in a student-teacher relationship, that would have something that would keep them going. I think that's why it's worked, is because I've been so concerned with every student has to have at least one thing they're working on that they really love, you know, that they're going to go home from that lesson and can't wait. You know, hopefully they'll play the rest of it.
So on Sunday, you know, that was a final student recital. How did it feel watching your students for one of the last times, you know?
Oh, bittersweet, yeah. I had several moments that were my favorites. You know, yeah, it was a very lovely recital. And I think that it wasn't very sad for me. I actually felt in awe that they had all played so much, you know, two solid hours basically of music. And when you multiply that by the hours that each piece took to get to where it was in this, they were all very fine performances, you know. It's probably thousands of hours by then, you know. I laid awake in bed early this morning, not with any, just going over, kind of savoring each moment of the recital in my memory.
This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Thanks for joining us. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or follow the podcast